Hey, awesome nerds, and welcome to another episode of D&D and TV, a weekly podcast where we rewatch television shows we really enjoy and talk about how the themes, concept, and characters could be used in different role-playing games. I am your host, Jeremy Talaman, and joining me today is my co-host, Danny Calamari, who is currently returning back into his panda form before heading back to the forest.
I was a panda all along. I'm actually specifically the panda from that World of Warcraft expansion that not a lot of people liked.
There was a panda in that game?
World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I didn't
you could
play
be,
it.
You could be panda people, like from Pandaria or whatever the hell it was.
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. Who knows? But you could be panda people. I know that. And that is the specific type of panda I am.
Yeah, see, I was always a Guild Wars person. I never really got into World of Warcraft. I know that makes me a heretic in many people's eyes, but Guild Wars was free, you people. It was free. I paid once, and I could play forever. I could still play now if I wanted. I still all my
paying
stuff's
once
there.
To play forever doesn't really read as free, though, does it? If you still have to pay.
I'm pretty certain that anyone who was playing World of Warcraft was paying a lot more than I did.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true.
This is like Netflix is free. It's just on my TV. That's how it works, right? I listen to the Weekly Planet. I know how these things are. It's just on the internet. So, yeah. Speaking of Netflix, we're talking about a different show that is on Netflix, not the Avatar show that you're thinking of. We're talking about the other one, the good one. Throwing the shade at the live action one early today. We're talking about Avatar The Last Airbender, the 2005 animated series. We're talking about episode 7 of season 1, book 1, Water. This is The Spirit World, or as it is also called, The Winter Solstice, part 1. In this episode, Aang takes on the task of defending a town from an interdimensional monster, but his untested skills and uncertainty could prove the town's undoing. I feel that that's kind of forgetting a key element of this plot. Like, I think there's something else that goes on in here that's pretty important. Something to do with some guy with a scar. I can't remember.
No, I don't know who you're talking about. There's Aang, there's Katara, and there's
Boomerang Boy.
Boomerang Boy. And that's it.
Yeah, it's just Boomerang Boy. I mean, there's the monkey lemur or whatever he is.
Oh yeah, there's the monkey and the big bison.
He's a sky bison.
What did they call the sky bison last episode?
Buffalo.
The buffalo, yeah. The big buffalo.
Yeah, the big flying buffalo. No, I'm talking about Zuko and Uncle Iroh, who is the greatest of all Uncle Iroh's. And they're... It does disturb me that Uncle Iroh is half naked for like the entire episode. It's a little bit weird, a little bit too wacky, but also, you know, accurate. It really goes, okay, he is the comic relief, but he's more than just the comic relief in this episode because he gets captured by the Earth Nation and just kind of shows this is why he's a badass. This is why he's a teacher. Like, he's not just the funny sidekick to Zuko. It's like there's a reason Zuko keeps
him exactly around. It's even like we'll get into it a bit later maybe, but even in the conversations that happen during that time really kind of shedding more light onto his backstory and what exactly he's capable of.
Yeah, I thought that was really clever because we haven't really figured out who he is. We know he's his uncle, so that obviously means he's connected to the Fire Lord, because the Fire Lord being Zuko's dad. But it's like, well, who is he? And it's like, okay, he's known. He's not just some guy. He's got his own backstory. He's got his own dramas. He's got his own loss. He's got his own victories.
Yeah.
It really fills him out as a character.
It does.
This episode really steps up, like, from... we were talking about this off air, and I was saying that the animation feels different. Like, it feels a little bit more epic. And it kind of... This feels like they've... Well, someone's watched Princess Mononoke. that you've got this very strong connection with the spirits and with the nature, with nature and with the world. Like you've got this spirit creature which looks monstrous, but by the end of the episode turns back into something that we would be more familiar with. But obviously has been corrupted by its rage, whatever. And you've got the Fire Nation destroying all of the forest, which is very Princess Mononoke.
No, it is.
And
It is
yeah,
really good.
it's really cool.
And again, like we've said in a lot of other episodes as well, but just its way of like presenting a really cool idea while again building a whole nother element of this world that becomes that we kind of know because we've seen the show before, does become extremely important for the course of the show and the world.
Kind of like we've hit the myth arc. Like we've had enough of the wacky shenanigans. We've got through a couple of levels for the D&D concept, and you're starting to like it's you've started in a village. You've gone out and you fought some things, and you're starting to see some plot elements play in. And now it's like, okay, but there's this god, see? There's this evil god. And that's the guy that's in charge of all those bandits you've been fighting. And it's like suddenly bringing in all this other stuff, which you didn't need to know before. And it also talks about like, well, what, like we kind of know the Avatar is meant to have this balance, but we haven't really seen what that means or how he's supposed to do it. And the fact that they go to a village and they're like, yeah, Aang, you're the Avatar. You can do this. It's like, oh, can I? Okay, great. I don't know how. And the great scene of him just standing there, it's like, spirit, stop it.
And then there's like
I
before
command
that, like
you.
Katara
Well,
and
all right, I guess that
Boomerang Boy,
worked.
they're like to Aang, they're like, what do you mean you don't know anything about the spirit realm? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you should know this. And Aang's kind of like, when the hell would I have learnt this? Like, who would have taught me this? There's no one to do this.
Yeah. I noticed this when there was the synopsis for episode 5, where he's talking about Omar Shu as another haunting ground of his youth. I'm like, his youth being like last week? Like, he's still a youth. He's like 10 years old. Of course, he doesn't know anything about the world. Like, yeah. So, yeah, where would he have learned this stuff? But that's another great element of being able to explain to the players. Just as much as explained to the characters. It's not, well, your characters would already know this. It's like, you would have no idea about this because your character has no idea about this. So I will explain what
And
it
it is that.
means.
Sorry, go.
And then also giving, you go.
I was
No,
just gonna
I was
say
just
it
going
was
to
just it
rant.
was also that thing of showing, not just telling, as well. Like it isn't just this big lore dump of so this is the
Yeah.
spirit realm and this is what you can do in the spirit realm and this blah 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 blah. It's like they really show exactly what all of that means.
And that he has to discover it himself. Like the dragon, Roku, Avatar Roku's spirit companion, which, or animal guide, sorry. I wonder about that. Like, Appa is also an animal guide, apparently, but okay, cool. Doesn't speak. Just kind of has to move around, and Aang has to try to understand rather than explaining what to do. It's like, okay. You're going to have to sense, you're going to have to figure it out yourself what's going on. And while you don't do anything wrong, you kind of go by instinct. We're not going to handhold you through it. And then that section when he goes to the temple in the spirit realm and he sees that he's going to be able to speak to Roku when the light hits the statue. He's like, okay, but how long is that? And you get that montage of the sun moving and the light moving. And he then goes, oh, it's that long. But it's also just this amazing sequence that you wouldn't have seen in this show like 2, 3 episodes ago. Like they've stepped it up for this one because that's just a beautiful sequence of seeing the sun rise. I mean, it's a pretty standard filmic technique to see everything speed up. But for something that's just this short animated
Yeah,
show,
absolutely.
this is taking it to
I think.
another level. And I love that idea of explaining time too, of just going, okay, so we're just going to skip over a couple of days, days flying off the calendar.
Yeah, even like this, and in this episode, correct me
Yeah,
if I'm wrong,
Shogo
it
time.
does take place over the course of like 24 hours, doesn't it? Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
Aang, because Aang, to see all this, does go into the spirit realm. He's essentially like, what, dead for a day?
Yeah, kind of. He's well,
Yeah, but like he's not
he's in
in
a
his body
meditative
for an
state.
entire day. 'Cause he, yeah, 'cause it's straight almost straight
Yeah.
away when it happens to him after chasing the creature. The spirit, yeah.
Yeah, the spirit.
Big
It does have a
Panda.
name. I can't remember. Big
Yeah.
Panda. Big Panda still Boomerang Boy.
No, I was trying to, but I don't even
You're
know
looking
what
it up,
to.
aren't
Don't
you?
worry, yeah.
Was doing the same thing. I'm just gonna let Danny vamp and then
Well,
I'll
yeah.
look it up and then it's like you've gone quiet.
Well,
You're doing the
Boomerang
same
Boy
thing as
gets
I.
stolen.
No, that he does he spends yeah, Boomerang Boy. Well, I'm not sure what happens. Well, they go into the spirit realm, and I want to talk about the spirit
Okay.
realm real quick. If you want to quickly look up the name of the panda spirit, that it is kind of this ethereal realm, but you can see the regular world, and you can, I mean, probably can't interact with it, but you can see everything else overlaying it. And certainly the ethereal plane in D&D is something that a lot of creatures can use. You can have succubi, incubi, and ghosts and spells. Like Blink moves you into the ethereal plane. But I don't think that, like the description of that is that it's all kind of shadowy and cloudy and foggy and you can't really interact with it. But I like it better as this format, that you're just kind of there and no one can hear you, no one can see you, but there's stuff there with you. Like there's these other spirits that are moving around and might be a threat, and you've got to deal with them on this level where you might not have all the skills like bending. And it makes it just this extra layer of adventure because you also then have the potential like, well, what if we try to travel through that? Maybe it's a little bit easier traveling through the spirit world rather than walking the regular way. Or maybe my body is vulnerable while I'm here. And yeah, I like those extra layers to a world that you can give it. Particularly an easy way of describing it, because you could have stepped through into like a fey world sort of thing, where it's like, oh, there's all these other, this amazing other dimension. But it's like, it really is another, it's like a parallel world, or it's like, it's, you're through the looking glass, you're through the reflection of the world that you're standing in. Yeah, I like that they dealt with this in a very simple way of setting it up. And I think that's all you need to do in most games as well. You just say this, you don't go into the science of it. You don't go, well, here are portals, here are all these things. You just go, yeah, sometimes you can go into this world. It felt very, very anime, but it reminds me of, I'm pretty certain there's an element of there's a game Thirsty Sword Lesbians, which is powered by the apocalypse. But one of them is a very magical girl anime inspired world where you're two sides of forever war fighting against each other, and you step into like a silence. You step into a world where everything is the same, but everything's stopped, and it's that sort of element. That you take all these battles take place where you can't see them, but it's just the same world that you're normally in. And I love that idea of being able to have the world you recognize but can't interact with, and it's massive adventures that you never really get to see. What'd you find out about the panda's name, Danny?
Hei bei? It means black white in Chinese.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
Yes. Although they're a that panda, explains why the it's wooden a panda. Totem is modeled after a brown bear, which I thought so. Weird.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
Yeah. Also, the monster form is maybe based on bear. The design of just the angels from the popular mecha anime Neon Genesis Evangelion. Evangelion.
Is this going to be like? Is this going to be like the George
Takei? No, thing? I know what it is. I've never seen it.
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
My brain just shut off halfway between the word neon and Genesis.
I thought I was going to have to have. I thought this was going to be like explaining Santa Claus isn't real. Okay. So there's this boy called Shinji, and it's very important that, yeah. That makes sense. It does look very much like one of the angels there because it's got like the six limbs and it's all creepy.
It did.
I love the design of it. It looked terrifying. Yeah. And it did feel like that this is a spirit that doesn't really have a form, but when it has different emotions, it changes into these like bizarre shapes. Like it's angry, so it just becomes this monstrous, weird thing that no one can recognize. But when it's calmer, it just becomes this
it looks like a Ben 10 monster.
Familiar and comfortable shape.
Can't really elaborate on that more, but just vibes. It vibes like a Ben 10 monster.
Yeah. Right, you're making me feel old. You're saying vibes. And
we're
Ben
talking
10.
About Avatar. Wait, that's roughly okay. The same time frame as Ben 10, isn't I've it? Heard...
Is it? I didn't know that.
Maybe it is.
I didn't
Maybe
know that.
I'm
I thought
wrong.
Ben 10 was a little bit later. I don't know. For some reason, Ben 10 never came across my radar.
Okay, so yes. Let's talk about the monster.
Let's talk about the monster. Let's talk more about the monster because it's cool. Because there's a couple of things about this. The fact that a lot of this is about Aang having to communicate with different things that can't communicate back.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a great quest. That you've got a monster that can't talk to humans and is running rampant. And it's like, do you kill it? Because it's just trying to get home or it's trying to figure out what's going on. But also, it's just cool as a monster. Like, it does all these, like, little teleport things, and it's got, like, a cool breath weapon, and it, like, runs really fast, and it's got these six limbs. It's like, I'd want to make this thing as a monster.
It is
to be cool.
A real cool monster to kind of hit people with. It's... And especially because it's not, like, inherently evil, but it's got a really terrifying-looking design. It kind of really works to throw the players off. But then, like... hopefully get them to think about it into like a bit deeper, but like anyone's initial reaction to that's going to be like, oh no, like kill it. It's terrifying. Which I think is really good. Like, cause it's got that weird, like its head's kind of like an orca whale almost. Yeah.
Or like a plant.
Yeah. All of it's just
type,
wrong
like a Venus flytrap
in the
or
best
something.
Ways.
And like the patches of it, the black and white seem to be like two different creatures merged rather than just one pure creature. Like the smaller arms are black and then you've got the big arm legs that it uses to run on and those are pure white. And it's like it seems like there's a smaller creature that's been attached to a bigger creature.
Yeah, it looks
and
nuts.
That makes it look bizarre. But that again, like its powers just really interest me because, again, they're not aggressive powers specifically. It seems to be powerful because it's big and because it's fast. Like, that's why it's scary. Because it's grabbing people. It's taking them back to the spirit realm. But you could almost say it's doing that because it's trying to talk to people and it's angry and it doesn't understand. And it takes them back, but then it can't talk to them there either. So it has to go and get someone else. and all of it's attacking the village. Like you see, they say it hasn't killed anyone, but it's like smashing down houses and it's like blowing stuff up with its breath. And it's like, well, is that all it's going to do? Like it doesn't attack people until, like it doesn't attack Aang, but it does grab Sokka. Boomerang Boy, for those keeping track. So is it, why is it doing that and not Aang?
I got the sense in this episode it is because it can't grab Aang. I could be wrong. Because it looks at Aang and it does that big,
that's possible,
like laser-ish looking spirit breath directly at Aang, which we see is destructive, but it doesn't have an effect on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd it be like, thunder damage
But it's
or
like
force
it's this
damage or
thing where
something?
it's like
And he's just immune
inherently
to that.
tied to him in some way, being a part of the spirit realm. I think it's that thing of it can't. Or it knows Aang's not a threat, maybe necessarily.
I think it's a little bit more that because it
Yeah.
does attack Sokka after he throws the boomerang at it. Like he comes out, he's like, I've got to help you. And he throws the boomerang and it does nothing.
Yeah.
But that's when it turns around and goes after him. And it does seem like everybody else in
Yeah.
the village was just like, let's just hide until it goes away. So it's only a problem if you go outside and
And I
like
think
antagonize it.
it only attacks Aang when he's like yelling at it, and I think just annoying him, but nor but it was just kind of ignoring Aang for the most part on its little rampage.
See, I love that idea for a monster that kind of
And just goes after the
ignores
village.
the players entirely, like has zero interest. Yeah, it's just doing its own thing, and the player's like, stop that, and it goes, no, what are you going to do about it? And then when they attack it, that's when it just like grabs one of them or smashes them to the ground and then keeps doing its thing. It really is like, you're here, but I've got my own agenda, I've got my own story that I'm telling. And that's, yeah, I really like that as a creature to put into a games and that
Yeah.
style of encounter. Yeah, I think that's just a good, and the fact that I'm thinking again that it teleports, that it's not about burning things, it's not about clawing things, it's about moving around. And that makes an interesting encounter. Like again, you have, I'm thinking more about D&D and the movement. It's like if you have a creature that you shoot at and it's somewhere else, or it grabs one of your allies and now you have to try to get the ally back rather than kill the creature. That to me is more exciting because now you're
Yeah.
thinking about the encounter rather than just, do I hit it? Yes. Yeah. So that's my thoughts about Panda
Hubby?
Spirit or Hub Hub.
Yeah.
B.
Hubby would,
Hubby.
yeah, that one.
Hubby. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. And the fact that Aang talks it down, that then you get to see why, what the Avatar actually does, that he is the conduit
Yeah.
and the liaison between it. That no one else is actually able to talk to the spirits and explain what's happening. And he's the one that's like, okay, everything's going to be okay, spirit. And the spirit's like, oh, you just had to tell me that. You had to tell me there's acorns because I didn't know there are acorns. Like, and the fact that Aang was
Yeah,
pretty
well,
stupid and didn't know
he's
about the acorns
10.
either,
We were,
that's
poor
pretty funny.
thing.
No, that's fair. That's a good point. That's a good point. He is a 10-year-old and it's like, oh yeah, everything's burned down, everything's gonna go to hell. It's like, oh yeah,
I've also
you're kind
we
of
said
accurate
this
there.
we said this before we started recording. Oh, well, you said this, that it feels like a bit of a side quest episode where the DM just didn't properly prepare it.
Yeah, for sure. That it was that they're just traveling along and it feels like they're going, okay, we're traveling along and then we want to remind them of how much devastation the Fire Nation causes. And like there's this big scar of landscape that's all burned up, and then Aang's player's gone, Oh no. I'm kind of catatonic about that. And the game player's like, shit. What do I do now? There's a villager who comes to see you and says, "Oh, you're the avatar. I need you to help me with this spirit." Yeah, that's right. The spirit. The spirit. Fight the spirit, damn it. I've got
It's
the
just
stat
like
block
this,
ready.
like this guy that's like running this just watched some sort of kaiju movie the day before. Like, yeah, let's just like I can't really let's just chuck kaiju at them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I've come up with this cool kaiju who's going to smash down the town, and then they can rally the citizens and get them together. Like, no, the avatar should be able to talk to them. Oh, okay, great. I guess that's what I'm doing now. Just going to lower the challenge rating a little bit, take away that poison spore attack.
I think it really speaks to it when later,
It,
you know,
yeah, it
you were
just
talking about
feels.
the animation and like it going through the days when it's talking about like this what's it called? What are they preparing for with this episode? Talking to Roku? The winter solstice.
The winter
It's
solstice.
this thing of like,
Yeah, they want to talk to
oh yeah, that
Roku at the
cool
winter
stuff, that's
solstice.
next
Yeah.
session because it was not prepared this session. But this was all definitely
Yeah.
planned, and I'm not like planning this
Yeah.
right now as we're running the session.
I definitely don't like tapping frantically and like I've laid out some plans and okay, I'm writing down the lore, but I haven't finished it
Because it's like
just yet.
established
So
that, oh, you could probably
he's a
speak
monster.
to Avatar Roku if you got in the spirit realm, and like that was said sometime prior to this session, and like the player about Aang was like, "Oh yeah, I'm in the spirit realm. I can talk to Roku." Like, shit, I do not have Roku ready.
No, not yet. What?
See this light?
Not
You have to
ready
wait for it to
yet.
hit the
It's
head
not
on the
ready. You
statue.
gotta go
That
somewhere else.
that's what we're doing. Yeah, you can't light bend. Good
Yeah,
luck.
it's that's tomorrow. Yeah. Oh yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. They could just move the light. But I think having a character like the Avatar, it's so easy. Like having that button that you can push for the characters to make them do quests. Like, it's going, you must do this because you're the Avatar. No one else can do it. You're the Avatar. You're the one that has to do this. We've been looking for you for ages. And it's great when you're unprepared. Like, oh yeah, I want to throw this stat block? Yeah, that's something only the Avatar can deal with. Yeah. Yeah, here's a puzzle. Only the Avatar could solve that. You can get help from your friends, but only the Avatar can open this door. It's such an easy hand wave to get them to do what you need. Oh. Yeah, I think it's very much it's just that psych like the village doesn't even really matter. Like it didn't show up before it was necessary for the plot. Like they were flying and they didn't spot any villagers. They were just kind of mucking around and playing with clouds and things. And it does feel like that the village didn't exist until they weren't still moving. The game was just like, all right, so they're gonna need food and they're gonna need somewhere to stay, and I need to kind of get them together. And oh, and Zuko's player's shown up this week, so that's really great. So we need them in the little area for a little bit longer and they can team up and fight this spirit. That's gonna work. All right, cool. I've got it. It's all planned. It's all planned out, and then it just does not go well. Does not go according to plan. Like, it must be an Earth Nation village that they're in. And so maybe is that
No,
where?
busing
No,
say.
that can't be where they were taking Iroh, because they were saying they were taking her to Ba Sing Se. Yeah. But maybe they were going to stop at the village overnight.
Definitely. They definitely would have.
You know what it is? Yeah, they stopped at the village overnight. I've just realized why this episode is a little bit different.
And
Zuko's
he
player
played
showed up
Iroh?
and he brought a friend.
Yep.
He's playing Iroh. Yeah. So they've separated Iroh from the rest of them so he can learn the rules. It makes perfect sense because he's just like chilling in this hot tub And then he gets captured and he doesn't do anything about it. But then each of the times he escapes, it's like, oh, can I do this? Okay, cool. Make a roll for it. Oh, can I do this? Okay, and make a roll for it.
Like, again, the DM trying to get them together. One, like, this whole time it's the player of Zuko has been like, yeah, no, I'm following the Avatar. And you're like, hey, look, there's the bison, the Avatar. It's like, nah, not this time, actually.
No, not this time. This time I must go and find my uncle. I'm now you work with my friends because I need to be.
But then, and then even with the guy playing Uncle Iroh,
now you work.
It's like, all right, let's get them there. You can see the spirit dragon.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa. And then, like, it doesn't get mentioned.
Yes. Huh. That's
like, it's not like, oh, I should tell Zuko's player about that. It's just like, oh, cool.
yeah, I definitely. He's literally like, yeah, spirit. That happens, right? But I'm just thinking, like, at the final battle.
No, he doesn't.
Iroh doesn't use any bending. He's got the chains wrapped around his thing, and he's kicking ass with them. But it feels a little bit like they gave the character they gave the player the sheet, but didn't explain how any of the skills worked. So he's just like, I hit him again, because I know how that works. It's like, you can do other stuff. Like, look what Zuko's doing. He's doing, like, fireballs and stuff. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, he's got the chains. I'm just going to hit them again. He could have gone chains, full Ghost Rider, and instead he just keeps whacking him with them. It does.
So, it looks so cool. Like, I love that he could have just, like, yeah, like the full Ghost Rider, like you said, like flying out fire and everything. But I think that makes Iroh even cooler. Like, he doesn't need to do that. He's just like, yeah, I've got this without even
the only bending we saw him do this episode is to heat up the hot springs.
Well, he heats up the...
that's right. That's correct,
up the chain as well, so when he wants to escape, when he's like, oh, my chains are so much looser, could you tighten them?
Yeah, absolutely,
That's got to be... That's
no, Iroh was definitely a call-in player that week.
It was like... Yeah. Oh. That's...
He is.
He's a star of the show, this one. I think it's kind of to keep everyone occupied with when it's very myth arc heavy to have all this other stuff. But I was wondering, like, even down to the way you're introducing him, it's like, I can see how they might have set it up where it's like, okay, so Zuko's character's always been looking for the Avatar and you're his uncle. And you're just taking a break before you set out. It's like, oh, cool. And I can do, like, fire stuff, right? All right, I found a pool and I made a hot spring. Like, okay. And Zuko's character's like, yeah, we're getting ready to go. He's like, okay, I stand up. I'm fully naked. It's like, you know what? Let's leave you there for a little while longer.
It is.
It's just, it's fun. It all makes sense now. I feel I had so many questions about Iroh's whole aspect in this and how it all ties together.
It fits very well.
Yeah. I do like as well that the escape attempts and like leaving the sandal as a clue, they're not, again, it's that idea that success doesn't have to be binary. Like, they're not really escape attempts. He just kind of falls over. And it's like, that's a few different checks. He's got to deceive them to make it look like he's really sleepy. And then he's got to make sure he's slipped the sandal off. But it's not that means he succeeds and gets away. It means that Zuko's closer to finding him.
Yeah.
Or he delays them enough to do something else. Oh, no, he does do some fire bending when he escapes that first time. He's, like, kicking them with fire and stuff. Yeah. But again, it's not just because you get some successes doesn't mean everything happens and everything works for you. It's just like kind of building up. And you get the feeling that had Zuko not been following, maybe those buildups would have gone a little bit further. And it's like, okay, well, now that you've succeeded, you've taken out one of the guards, and now there's only three, and that's going to make future attempts easier. And yeah, I like that escalator of success. I guess I'm going to call it. I'm so intrigued by this.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, we'll see. I guess in the future episodes, if Iroh still got PC energy, or if like that was just a one-off thing.
Yeah, I feel Zuko's play has definitely told his friend how great the Game Master plays Iroh. So he's playing up the wackiness, but also doing all the stuff. So every time, it really is just the Game Master being like, all right, so I guess I got to fold that into the character too. Great. He didn't take the city. This is why they're after him. Oh, all right. That's, he respects them too. Great, great. Note making notes, frantically taking notes about everything he says. I don't remember what else happens in the episode, because kind of cover all of it there. It's just really Iroh's thing and the spirit. It does take a very it takes a tangent, for one thing, with that. It's a side quest within a side quest. Like I didn't realize that the Habu had been coming every night, and when Aang suddenly goes off and like finds out about Roku and gets more information about the next day, and then comes back and is like, I'm sorry, Katara, I didn't find Sokka. It's like, oh shit, what's going to happen? And then Hubby shows up again. Like, oh yeah, he comes back every night. You can just try again. Oh yeah. Well, that's easy. Glad that's solved.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you think... Let's talk about that final battle. Battle, for want of a better word. Do you think there was even a role for that? Or do you think the Game Master kind of... would this be something that you do? That you kind of decide, okay, they've got the point of the encounter. Mm. They've figured out what they need to do, and they're doing it. Do we need to keep it going?
In terms of can we just Rabi, Habe, and talking to it, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, and Aang. Because it could have been like, maybe he has to beat the thing into a submission. But like, if it's D&D, you have a combat encounter. This is what I do. You have a combat encounter, and when you get to a certain point, that is when it starts to understand what's going on, or that's when you can talk to it and you start to see the real creature inside that you can appeal to.
Yeah, I don't
but this
think
is literally
I would
like, he can just speak to it.
To play it a role, especially after, like, in the context of this, everything they've been through, and like, they are fully understanding it. And handing over the acorn as well. Like there's a lot of steps I think the players have taken to get to that point. I don't want to like deprive them of what they've learned there just because they've rolled poorly, I guess. I know that's like the essence of what D&D is sometimes, but I think like other rolls were made in previous checks prior to this moment that they reached. So I think it still feels like the dice have played a part.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right there. Like they have, they've cleared out the encounter. Like they've found all the clues. They've rolled all the successes. They've got everything they need to do this. Doing a combat now is just filling time. But I can see, had they not been able to do it, maybe that's when you do the combat, and that's when you have it kind of shift a little bit back into the panda and then back into the angry creature. So they start to put it together. But it's like, you've got all the answers. Exactly. Why are you having to take the test twice? Yeah. I think that's a good way of doing it. I think that's something that makes like combat's fun, obviously. That's why I play D&D for the combat. But I think having those situations where it is more about working out what the story is and having that success through knowledge rather than through strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It kind of is. That's why I just went
That's
silent just
kind
then,
of
because I was
everything
trying to
I've
like rack
got
my
for
brain.
this
Like, is there
episode.
anything in this episode that we haven't really discussed? But I don't think there is.
I mean, there's a lot of mini stuff.
Yeah.
I feel that this is very much a myth-building episode, that the spirit realm, you can't use bending, and that's a key element. Like, having characters lose the
Yes.
powers that they've got is always very
It's
challenging
why,
because it makes you think about things in other ways. I mean, I'm
yeah.
surprised we didn't see it
No, I,
in the episode with Boomy.
sorry, go.
But I was going to say, it doesn't really come into play much because as soon as
Yeah.
he realizes he doesn't have bending,
But
oh,
it's
look, the
something to
dragon's there to
establish
help
for
him out.
future games.
But it's just that little
Sorry,
bit
no,
of lore
it's all
building.
good. I was just saying it's something to
Sorry, I
establish for
interrupted you and
future
talked over
sessions
you.
and future games as well. That in the spirit realm, you, yeah.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. That it's like, okay, we're entering into the spirit realm, so here are the rules for it. And we're just visiting now,
Yeah.
but next time you're here, you're prepared for that, rather
Yeah.
than really
And
make you
taking
challenged
away
with it
powers
now.
or skills and stuff is always a good fun
Yeah.
thing to do. Even like, if the party gets arrested and they're all put in jail and
Yeah.
the spellcasters lose their focuses and all of the martial classes lose their weapons, it's great to kind of be like, all right, what are you guys doing? And that one guy that's got proficiency in improvised weapons, let him shine.
This is what I used to love about old editions of D&D when wizards had to memorize
Okay.
from their spell book every day. Like you pick the spells that you memorize for the day, and then pretty much like what clerics do in fifth edition now, where you kind of pick the spells, that's the ones I know. Next day I'll change them again. But that was the idea of the spell book, that you had access to so
Yeah.
many spells. Any spell you'd found, you were able to put in the book. But you could only use like six or seven a day. So you kind of pick them out and you memorize them. But then if the spell book goes missing,
Yeah.
then all you've got are the memorized ones. And it's like, but I need this other thing and I know it. I know how it works, but I don't have it memorized. So I guess I just keep casting fireball. And I like that. But it is fun to use all your tools to have all the things you want at your disposal, but also it can be fun to be challenged sometimes and think outside the box. It's like, all right, cool, fireball's your favorite spell. Here's something that's immune to
Yeah.
it. What are you going to do now? Are you just going to switch spells, or are you going to come up with a different way to create water on it, or what's the plan? And I think that's a great idea when removing bending. It was the same in Imprisoned, where
Yeah.
the earthbenders couldn't bend. And I honestly thought because they were on an like out in the ocean, I thought Katara was just going to use water. Like, you guys can't bend, but I can. It's easy. Watch. Yeah, I think removing those elements of power, and again, for Iroh, it's like so much of what he and Zuko do are with hands out. Like it's actually the art style. Well, what can you do when you don't have access to the usual powers? Like it's basically, let's just give you utilitarian spells. Like all you've got are utility spells. You've got heat metal, you've got prestidigitation, you've got
Yeah.
a couple of other ones,
I
nothing
love
above a
that.
cantrip. And what do? How do you? Yeah. That'd be fun. I do like reducing. This is one of the things when I do. I did have a friend who created a wizard who only had utility spells. So things like mending and mage hand, stuff that you'd
Yeah.
have if you were a mage in everyday life. That you just have this stuff because it's useful for you on a day-to-day basis. And great, now he has to go adventuring with them. And you might learn stuff along the way, but to start with, you don't have Firebolt. It's a fun way to do it. Limiting your abilities. That's what I'm going to call that in the episode title.
Cool.
But I think that's where we'll wrap it up for the episode, since we've been talking about that for a little while now, and there's not too much else. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about next week when we talk about Avatar Roku, the Winter Solstice Part 2. So tune in for that by subscribing wherever podcasts are found, whatever podcast catcher of your choice you use. Whether it's Podbean, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Overcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review where you can tell people how amazing we are, how amazing everyone is, but preferably us, because that's who you're leaving the review for. 5 stars gets us out to more listeners, so we would really appreciate that. But just tell your friends as well if they like Avatar, if they like D&D, if they like role-playing games in general, because clearly I just talk about random ones occasionally. What else do I need to say? I need to say where you can find us online. Instagram is the best place. I am on Blue Sky as well, but Instagram at TALUMIN83. That's Talumin83. And the podcast is at DNDNTVPOD.
I am on Instagram at Danny.Calamari.
Online. Wonderful. Yes. Where you'll probably see him posting things as well.
No, I'm not on Blue Sky, no.
Are you on Blue Sky yet? Are you not a Blue Sky person?
Okay.
It's free now. They don't have to be invited. You can just join. But it's... yeah, it's fine. It's better than Twitter. there's a lot of places better than Twitter. What else do I need to say? We are brought to you by Masters of Alchemy, the premier game mastering service in Melbourne. You can find us every Sunday, running Dungeons & Flagons at Fortress Emporium. You can check that out at the Fortress Emporium website and book there, or you can go to mastersofalchemy.au to find out more of that. We're going to be at DreamHack as well, which should be this weekend, if my maths is correct. So you can come along to that and try out some Werewolf or some D&D with us. Probably going to be a couple of conventions, because why not? That's always fun too. And... oh, I'm forgetting one important thing. That's right, you can send us emails. If you send us an email to dndntvpod@gmail.com, we can answer your questions, and they will be not as long-winded as this. We'll answer them on air. That's kind of the point of it. We'll not just, like, email you back. Like,
yeah.
That's... We'll read them. Like, we're not being rude and just ignoring them.
Yeah, exactly.
We will read them, but we'll answer them on air, so you got to keep listening. It's like, to get the downloads up. Yeah. So until next time, thank you again for listening.
Yep.
Stay safe. Yep. Be kind to yourself, and may all your hits be crits. This podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. Always was, always will be. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging.